KALW.
It'll be able to help expand their 2 acres to 5 acres of essentially a farm.
Oakland received a multi-million dollar grant to fund environmental projects in the Deep East.
There was some concern from some community members who did not want this trail.
We'll learn about the projects and skepticism from some Deep East Oakland residents. Then we'll hear from an R&B artist in Oakland who found their identity through performing.
I saw the gender in my mind that really like resonated, and it wasn't, oh, you're a boy, oh, you're a girl. It's like, you're Freddie, and that's all that matters.
Plus, a reading from a new book about pickling.
Fermentation is an ancient process that predates written records in many parts of the world.
That's coming up. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Deep East Oakland is going to see some changes soon. The city was recently awarded a $28.2 million grant called Transformative Climate Communities. The grant is for low-income areas disproportionately affected by pollution and will be led by community organizations. Over 5 years, they'll work on 5 projects in a 5-square-mile area of East Oakland between International Boulevard and the airport. The projects include more affordable housing, a special urban farm, and a bicycling program for youth. KALW's Janae Darden spoke with Oakland Chief Resilience Officer Alexandria McBride, the city's lead on the grant, about what's to come in East Oakland and some of the residents' concerns about gentrification.
So where did the idea even for applying for this grant come from? Like, what was this grant intended for?
Yeah, so the state of California is one of the first states in the nation to put together this cap and trade fund, which is essentially a way of gaining revenue from people who are polluting or from polluters. So there's now this chunk of money that the state has decided they wanted to target to what they call disadvantaged communities. We understand when we're talking about greenhouse gas emissions, it's not equitably distributed and that certain communities are hit harder. And the way the grant works, that it's community led, they want to focus in on a specific area, 5 square miles. And because of the really active East Oakland activism community, they heard about this grant and they actually came to the city and said, hey, we would like City of Oakland for you to apply for this planning grant.
Because I know you said the grant looks at, you know, environmental hazards, you know, a lot of pollution. What else is in Deep East Oakland?
Yeah, so there's a big urban canopy. So when you look at trees and the amount of trees that are in other parts of Oakland versus East, we see a real disparity there. And trees, it's not just the visual kind of, you know, mental health benefits of having a green environment. It helps with things like urban heat island effect, which is on really hot days. Trees help to reduce that. And when you have less trees in areas like East Oakland, you have more people reacting or having issues with heat, increased heat. Flooding is another big one because of the flatlands and sea level rise and climate change that we know is coming, you know, long term. That area is subject and prone to more flooding.
Let's talk about some of the projects here. So one of the projects, which is what everybody was like, what we need is adding more housing. And so you're going to add how much more housing? Affordable housing?
55 units, and it's 100% affordable housing.
Like low income, yep. Now in the Bay Area, it's like if you make under 80,000.
You know, I pulled up a quick kind of cheat sheet, and so don't hold me to these numbers, but like some of these are 20% to 50%. So 20% AMI could be as low as around $400 a month to 50% being around 1,000. And again, these are numbers based on a chart that I pulled up from a few years ago. So it's changed, but to give you an idea.
What about, okay, so then, and then there's the San Leandro Creek Urban Greenway. So you're going to have a trail that goes from East Oakland to Martin Luther King Jr. Shoreline Park. So where is that going to?
There's a concrete channel, actually, that folks probably wouldn't even know because it's kind of fenced off. And it, you know, it's closed off and basically an unused space. And that space is going to be transformed into the trail itself. Some people were concerned even about safety because that area, some people are using that area for, you know, illegal activities. And the community members had actually already raised money to start developing the San Leandro Creek Trail with Alameda County. So there was already funding there. Our additional funding, though, will just add more amenities, make the trail actually have programs on it, so that East Bay Regional Parks District is doing like educational programming and helping youth kind of understand nature. And that was the one part of the application that, you know, there was some concern from some community members who did not want this trail because they, you know, there's some folks who thought that the trail might be going through their backyard and were unsure of, you know, security around the trail. So, you know, we had to have some real conversations with folks to make people comfortable and to understand that there was a lot more outreach we were willing and able and will do to be able to make sure everybody's on the same page.
And so then 2,000 trees in the area, which you talked about. So this was one I was really interested in, is the aquaponics farm and food hub.
So what's beautiful about Planting Justice already is that it's operating right now. It's currently 2 acres. And they hire, there are 9 people currently working there with living wage jobs that are from Sobrante Park. Some are formerly incarcerated. And this project now will help Planting Justice purchase a nursery that's been vacant for almost 30 years that was going to be sold to a truck storage facility. But now because of this grant, it'll be able to help expand their 2 acres to 5 acres of essentially a farm that is not only developing food for the local residents there, but also producing organic food, but also selling food to places that, large food processors that are looking for fresh, healthy food to purchase.
And aquaponics, that's where those tanks that have, they're growing vegetation, but also like fish too as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Aquaponics allows another type of growing that's not dependent on the soil. And when you're dealing in urban spaces like this, like most cities, you're not sure if the soil is actually viable for organic food. So aquaponics allows you to really grow organic food anywhere. And some of the aquatic animals that help to help to grow the system in a really interesting way. So it's a combination of the fish and plants together into a system.
The last project, last but not least, is, and I've interviewed and covered them, the Scraper Bike Team. So what is that supposed to look like?
We know Scraper Bikes wants to get some more youth involved, wants to do education. And then what Higher Ground does, they already have a footprint in after-school programs around East Oakland. They're going to use that existing footprint and essentially bring in Scraper Bikes to kind of do these scraper bike specific workshops. They'll even get into some bike mechanics, which is a really cool skill to have. There's not a lot of bike sharing opportunities in East Oakland. So getting 500 bikes to the area and then circulation, we think will be a really cool way to get more young adults on bikes.
People who have been in East Oakland a long time, they're concerned that this is not for them. Some people feel like this is increasing gentrification, these kind of projects.
Yeah, and I understand that. My response is that we developed this proposal with community groups, acknowledging, though, that that doesn't mean everybody, right? And that there's always more outreach that we can do, and that the outreach and community development does not stop now that we've won the proposal.
Jobs. Will there be priority given to East Oakland residents?
There will be priority, and that kind of comes in a couple of ways. There are certain jobs that will have specific, like you're from this community. There'll also be a lot of the training for the residents in that 5 square mile area.
You're talking about a new East Oakland. What does that look like? What else is there to come?
Yeah. So what you saw on that summary application were other projects like the renovation of the East Oakland Center. And there's also what Larry Reed was alluding to at the press conference was there's another state grant, an urban greening grant for the Tyrone Carney mini park renovation that was just won about 5 months ago. So there's lots of investment, and CC tries to bring it all together with the anti-displacement angle. To your point, make sure that the projects that are being developed are not pushing people out, and that the people that are in East Oakland now can benefit from those improvements.
That was Oakland's Chief Resilience Officer Alexandria McBride speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. If you want to voice your questions and concerns to the city about these projects, you should. Visit KALW.org to learn how. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. Shelter in place caused many artists to postpone or cancel live concert events, but that didn't stop Freddie from releasing new material or performing online. The Oakland-based R&B singer released their debut album, Melanin Monroe, during quarantine. Melanin Monroe. Good name. The work highlights what it means to be Black and gender fluid. They explore themes of being in a queer relationship and how the Bay Area influenced them. Here's Freddie, in their own words, in a new edition of Bay Area Beats produced by Porfirio Rangel.
Hi, my name is Freddie, pronouns they, them, and I am the R&B trap queen of Oakland, California. I would describe my music style as a blend of hip-hop and R&B. I started writing music probably when I was in seventh grade, but I've only started in this most recent path as an artist, like maybe about 2 to 3 years ago. You Don't Know My Name, that one just like, it came to me, like the idea of like wanting to write about an experience with like someone on Grindr who wants to stay anonymous and doesn't want to share the relationship they have with you outside of like the shadows. That's something that, I mean, I feel like a lot of queer people can relate to. I wanted to create a project that was explicitly queer and that was explicitly Black. And so the name Melanin Monroe was just like, it felt so perfect for me. I'm a queer historian and I wanted to create something that people could look back on and say, this was for us. I identify as non-binary in that I don't subscribe to one or the other of that binary, but I do see myself as gender fluid as well. I just love that whole spectrum. I'm just very vibrant with gender. I love gender. I made it straight for the fall. I made it straight to the pavilion. Disillusioned by love. My delusions of grandeur are barely standing up. The realization that I was non-binary and the decision to explore my gender further came out of performing, actually. Long ago, like when I first started performing, long ago, like 2 years ago, when I first started performing, my first gig was at a queer art and fashion show with UC Berkeley. The theme was the queer future. I heard it was a fashion show and I said, I want to explore more. I don't want to just show up in like some jeans and a t-shirt and call it a day. We're talking about queer fashion, so I need to explore. I need to push myself. I went to, it was Anastasia's on Telegraph by campus. I went to the women's section. I went and looked for whatever really just like resonated with me. I didn't care anymore about where I was supposed to go. It was kind of nerve-wracking because I'm always anxious about people looking at me when I'm in like the women's section, and I don't know, just like judging. Like, it's hard to escape that feeling of being like surveyed. I was able to shake it off and just really enjoy myself and enjoy the process of trying on different outfits. And honestly, I found some new looks. And every single show that I've done, I made it a goal to push myself even further. I saw the gender in my mind that really like resonated. And it wasn't, oh, you're a boy, oh, you're a girl. It's like, you're Freddie. Like, you're doing your thing and you have your inspirations and you have your influences, and that's all that matters.
Okay, so better Freddy gon' shine, better Freddy gon' shine, that respect.
Clack, kaboom, everybody knows when I step in the room. Freddy here and I take you to the top.
What made me decide to release Melanin Monroe despite the pandemic, coronavirus, was that my grandpa passed away about a year ago. And it really made me realize how short life is and how precious it is, and every day is a gift. And that really set me on a path to realizing, like, if there's anything that I want to do, I better do it now. I've really waited my whole life to put out an album.
I've been putting this on all my work, rocking on sweatshirt t-shirts. I'm on my grind these days, you know how this thing works. Said I'm back on my beep. I was sitting in the back of like a reaver.
I promised myself that I would stick to it the entire way through, and I set the deadline for 420 just for fun, but then everything went down. And I couldn't stop. I've done the Instagram live shows. I've done the Zoom concerts. I've done pre-recorded shows.
Anyway, you can call me a villain, cause I look bad when I'm chilling. The Marty people's so serious, man, I don't know. God, I'm a winner, so been all up on my fitness. So if you want it, oh, sweetie, we can go.
I don't have all the tech set up to make an amazing show yet. And I think that this pandemic has revealed a lot of the economic disparities between people, the haves and the have-nots.
Rocking on sweatshirt t-shirts, I'm on my grind these days. You know how this thing works, said I'm back on my beep. I was sitting in the back of like a reaver.
I said I'm Benji, I'm Benji. You could never have me, so hood, but I'm campy. Slim thick like a grown baby, only bad really understand me. Let me repeat.
The Bay Area is my home. I've been here for almost 10 years now, and I moved around a lot when I was growing up. So I never really had another place that I considered home, but I just feel like it's the first place that I've fully felt embraced for who I am, wherever I'm at in that journey as a queer Black artist. So I feel like I can just kind of do my own thing and kind of take it as far as I want to take it here. And there's gonna be someone that appreciates that.
I'm looking like a joke, and I'm looking hella five to the 10. FREDDI, it's Bay Area. What up?
I know a lot of people, especially a lot of Black queer people in the world, like globally, just don't have that privilege of being able to celebrate themselves as vividly and openly and extravagantly as possible, and aren't given much range. So I wanted to offer that up. I wanted to say, you can be this, you can be this, you can be this too. And let that be a project for people who look like me.
For you to wake up. I don't need a conversation.
These whole past couple of years has been a journey for me in trying to, you know, establish myself as an artist and what that will sound and look like. Anyone who's starting on their journey as an artist, their journey in discovering themselves, be it their gender, their sexuality, just their identity, who they are, take time for yourself. You owe yourself that time to really just think about what you really want and think about what matters to you.
Just give it up tonight, yeah, you're gonna see. I'm gonna be around for you, boy. I'm gonna be around for you, boy. Yeah.
That's Oakland-based R&B singer Freddie. This edition of Bay Area Beats was produced by Porfirio Rangel. Freddie's album, Melanin Monroe, is out now.
Say the first time that I felt this way. But baby, you know that sometimes I get shy. If it's the first time that you heard this, then I opens up your pretty eyes. Say the first time that I felt this way.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. Bay Area authors have had to cancel launch parties and book tours due to the coronavirus, so KALW is bringing them to you in a series we're calling New Arrivals. Today we hear from Kelly McVicker, who lives in San Francisco, reading from her new book, Essential: Vegetable Fermentation.
It's a guide to helping people demystify the process of fermenting at home so that they can understand how to make kimchi, sauerkraut, pickles, and more. This section is from the beginning of the book where I talk about the origins of the fermentation process. Fermentation is an ancient process that predates written records in many parts of the world. By observing how fermentation happened naturally and then developing ways to control the process, humans have co-evolved with the very microbes that nurture us in a mutually beneficial collaboration. And ultimately, fermentation results in complex, deeply satisfying flavors that really can't be achieved any other way. That's by nature's design. Just as flowers evolve their brilliant colors to entice bees to visit, microbes active in the fermentation process break down starches and proteins into components that are tastier to humans than their non-fermented origins. Symbiosis at its finest.
That was Kelly McVicker reading from her new book, Essential: Vegetable Fermentation. Find more information about that book and other recent releases by Bay Area authors at kalw.org/newarrivals. The Cross Currents team includes Vivian Bosu-Skinner, Sarah Leisterland, Lisa Morehouse, and Marissa Ortega-Welch. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shereen Adel. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.